Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
iHeart Podcast Awards 2023 Podcast of the Year, Las Culturistas, with SNL's Bowen Yang and comedian Matt Rogers.
There's stuff happening in 2024 that we really need to address.
Pop culture and huge guests, like the latest episode with
Dua Lipa.
The more I think about it, the more scared and nervous I get.
Listen to the newest episode of Las Culturistas with Dua Lipa and all episodes on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Las Culturistas to start listening.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? I hope you're feeling good. I hope you're feeling energized. We got a very special bonus episode of Nerdificent, and I'm one of your hosts, Ify Wadiway, and sitting across from me is
Danny Fernandez, and today we are joined by a comedian. He is the host of Collider Movie Talk and one half of the Schmoes Know, Mark Ellis.
Oh, thank you guys for having me on this special bonus episode.
Yeah.
Is this not a normal episode? Is it a bonus because I'm the bonus, or is it just like, hey, we do enough good content and we figured we'd just throw Mark a bone and let him come on here because he's just so desperate to talk.
Well, you're one of our few. So we're recording this before the movie has officially dropped, and you and I and Ify all got to see it earlier, and so you're one of our few friends that got to see it. And Dorian actually was scheduled and then dropped out at the last minute. So thanks,
wow.
Mark, for coming.
I see what it is. Really had to let him know he was a backup. I was going to keep that close to my chest.
Here's the thing is I know Mark so well because he's one of my best, absolute best friends, and Mark is so busy all of the time, so I try to not ask him for favors unless I need it.
I'll be honest with you. I was home. I was watching the playoffs and the Cleveland Indiana game. It just started, and then Danny texts me and she's like, "Hey, can you come and do this?" And I wrote her back. I was like, "If there's nobody else, then I am 100%."
And so we asked Danielle Radford, and she was busy. So then Mark.
Well, you know what? Spoiler alert. The Cavs lose. Like, let's just there. I'm gonna help out, my guy. Yeah, I don't think the Cavs are gonna make it.
Oh no, he paused the game.
No, I mean, I think Indiana might take it, but I think the Cavs are actually. I think LeBron is just gonna turn into full. We say Thanos / T'Challa mode based on who.
Okay,
you
so
root
before
for.
We start saying anything of anything, this is a spoiler heavy review.
Yeah, definitely don't listen to this if you don't want to hear spoilers at all.
If you haven't seen the movie, don't listen to this.
But before you hit that like pause and save it, we'll give one word just review without spoilers for people who are listening and are like, oh crap.
Oh, can we get three words?
All right, three words.
Says
for
Danny,
people.
Who's the only one here that's seen it twice.
Yeah, so. I saw it twice. Yeah, I did, yeah.
So three words for people who are getting ready to pause this and are going to listen to it after. Three-word review. Mine is, wow, wow, wow.
I love it. So you did just have one word.
Yeah.
Somehow it's more of an impact if you say that one word three times.
I'll go so you can think about yours, Mark. Mine would be tremendously funny, !! Shocking.
Did you use the exclamation point
to separate them? People have been getting, so this is still spoiler free, this top part, but when I was at the premiere, I had a lot of people messaging me like, how was it? I was like, it was tremendously funny. And no one liked that answer. That was not what anyone wanted to hear, but it was tremendously funny. And I refuse to change my review. Anyways, Mark, your three words.
All right, well, I had a nomination, and then that one just got usurped. So the nomination was just going to be Purple People Eaters, which isn't really a spoiler because the Purple People Eaters for the Vikings in the 70s were good, but they never won a championship, so you don't really know which way I'm going with that. So I'm simply going to say my three words are MCU, and what I mean by that are multiple climaxes unfold.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, you really did think about that.
Thank you.
God, you're a nerd. So moving forward, y'all, this is a spoiler-heavy review.
Spoilers.
I really don't know, which I'll probably get into this with you, Mark, because you do so many reviews. I don't know how to talk about this film in general without spoilers. So I told Iffy, we're going to have to do spoilers because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to piss anyone off. Let's just do a spoiler-heavy review.
Well, that was what was funny because I was like, oh, we'll just do a spoiler-free review up until the bump and then switch. But I was like, everything that we want to talk about, it would just feel so just bland because you're holding back like,
Yeah,
anyways, we'll talk about that next time. And then this thing happened that we're going to talk about next time. And people, to be fair, people have gotten in trouble. Forbes got in trouble for spoiling.
Variety had a couple.
Variety, people, other critics. I'm just like, y'all can't help yourself.
Well, because the thing is there's an embargo that they just ignored, you know.
Well, it's not only the embargo, but I think they did actually spoil things that happened in the film.
Yeah, so to my knowledge, there is a social media embargo that they usually do now with the huge movies, which means you can't even tweet about it until you see it. But that lifted like right after we got out of the premiere. So you could like tweet about it, unless you had Sprint, at which point you couldn't tweet at all. Because you got no service at the theater. Such was the fate that befell me. So I had to wait until the next morning. But then 3 o'clock the next day is when the embargo lifted to review the movie. But obviously, you don't want to spoil anything. And what I find interesting about these huge movies that everybody wants to see a review is that we hold back, at least with Schmoes, we hold back more than we normally would. A, because we know we're going to be doing a spoiler-heavy review.
Oh, okay.
That's when we can get into it. But also, it's because, same thing with like a Star Wars movie, like, I don't want to be the guy that even hints at something that might ruin the movie for you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's a very, these reviews that we do, the non-spoiler ones, are even more vague than usual.
Yeah.
Do you, this is probably a loaded question, but I mean, do you feel like you even need the spoiler-free reviews?
Yeah, because people want to watch it and see how you felt about a movie before they go see it.
But it, like, this is a movie that they're going to see regardless, especially your fans.
Yeah. The hope is that they trust people like us enough to see a review and see how we felt about the movie, but not give away anything. Whereas you run the risk with it. Like, look, if you're asking me personally, if I didn't already see Infinity War, I would not be listening to anybody.
Yeah.
I would mute all the
way. I wouldn't mute.
100%.
I would delete the Twitter app.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I agree.
Like our friend Jeff, he was like, I'll see you later, social media. I'm not going to be on social media until after, which is good because I feel like people dropped the ball with Black Panther. I felt like the night it came out, spoilers, spoiler memes, spoiler.
Oh, yeah.
Like people were using plot points as memes, which is understandable, but it was like the night it came out. So I can only imagine like what's going to happen just premiere night for this movie.
I mean, everybody wants to be first when it comes to social media anyway. Like you want to be the first one to get like a funny meme in or to get like this hot take, but the other side of it is like, look, I get that everybody loves social media and you're addicted to it, but have a little bit of willpower. Like, it's not cool to tweet spoilers, but also, just don't can you live without checking Twitter until you see the movie? Can you actually exist as a human being in 2018 and just not read a review until you see the movie?
Yeah, well, before we even jump into it, here's a question that was very, very fought upon. I love talking about this story because it everyone has such a strong stance on whatever their stance is with this. So back when The Force Awakens, that was the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
When The Force Awakens came out, I was still writing for At Midnight, and every comedian wanted to do a joke on the show where they would yell, Han dies. Every comedian. Like, not every comedian, every dick trolley comedian wanted to do that bit where that's their answer. And we were like, no. And like someone snuck and did it and we bleeped it out. Like it was bleeped out. Like that's the limit that Chris wanted to go through. Chris Hardwick, he wanted to make sure, because, you know, he's a nerd. And also, since it's his show, it kind of falls on him. And then that was like, I think, week one or two that comedians started. Like, comedians weren't super dicks and they wanted to do it right away. Like, they waited like a week or two and they wanted to do that. So we bleeped it like week two. Then like I think another week or two pass and someone else wants to do it. And I think the person who eventually got to get away with doing it without any blocking was Jonah Ray. And don't quote me on that, but that's who I think. And so then people were so mad at Chris online where they're like, I still didn't get to see it. And so we had this big discussion in the writer's room of what is the cutoff? Like, when do we think the cutoff is for like spoilers when you should stop being mad about it? I was the harshest. I was like 2 weeks. 2 weeks for a movie like Star Wars. For most other movies, I would say longer, but for a movie like Star Wars, Infinity War, Black Panther, you know this is going to be a culturally large movie, but also a movement, especially for Black Panther. And I feel like when you have such a cultural touchstone of a movie, you can't help the zeitgeist from, plug to Daily Zeitgeist, the zeitgeist from wanting to talk about it on social media. You can't expect everyone to hold their conversations past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think for something as big as Han dying, like, that, it's just such a huge thing that happened. That it's like, that's the biggest spoiler, arguably, of the last...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe of the 2000s.
Even. I think so.
That's a huge spoiler. So I would say until a movie has finished its theatrical run, which that's... I know it's tough for showing at midnight, but... I get that people want to make that joke, but we're all professional comics here.
Yeah.
Like, can we not think of something else to say other than Han dies?
That's topical, baby, though. That's topical, baby.
It's topical, baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you have that ruined?
Yep.
You had the Han thing ruined for you?
Who ruined it?
Who?
Brody Reed.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We were on a shoot together, and I said, yeah, I heard that like Chewbacca dies, and he was like, no, worse, Han. And he was like, yeah, my friend told me.
Wow. My thing is, I would have let you go in thinking that. Like, that would have been a funny, like, fake out for you to think that he was going to die.
Did you know that he hadn't, like, prior and, in, like, insider information? Because this was before the movie came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did you know that he had, like, privileged knowledge of what happens?
I mean, when you live and work in Hollywood, if you want to find something out, that's what's funny. I mean, as much as people might say that you can't, if you want to know something, there's ways to find out. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what's different.
In retrospect, I'm happier. Like, I love Han, so I'm glad they killed Han and not Chewie, because I watch these new Solo trailers,
yeah,
and I love Chewbacca so much. Like, you always don't kill the dog, but especially not that dog.
Like, oh, it was so like what we were Chewie. Talking about with Hector, when Hector was, like, on Hector's MCU episode, and Hector was like, oh, yeah, and I was working, and he said, you know, one of the other editors, like, brought me into the room and showed me, oh, like, we're going to have Thanos, and showed me, like, a purple guy on the screen. So, yeah, our friends, you know, they keep that to themselves, but... Some of them.
Speaking of which.
The Avengers, back when you could only have six heroes in a movie and get away with it.
Yeah. I'm going to text Hector so when we get to the spoiler part of this review to say that. Because if you listen to the MCU
episode.
This
is the spoiler part, Iffy.
We haven't spoiled anything
I
yet.
I know, but we're.
So the ears are still
fresh. I mean,
fresh.
If you haven't seen The Force Awakens, we spoiled
I know. Can you imagine
some stuff? But I mean, like, you know.
We should. So we saw a film. And y'all saw a film. If you're listening, you saw, hopefully, this film, which was Avengers Infinity War. So, moving forward with our spoiler-heavy review.
This is your last spoiler alert.
You might be annoyed at this point, but you know what? We will still have someone writing us saying that we spoiled the movie for them.
Yeah, yeah, because right after I say this is our last spoiler alert, I'm going to say, they kicked it off with killing Loki real quick, like right out the gate. Like, and I thought it was great. Yeah.
Because it was such a cool flip from the first Avengers where you had Hulk just bashing around Loki at the end of that movie like he was a rag doll.
Yeah.
And then Thanos comes in, kills Loki, and does the same thing to Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap.
And that was such a cool fight to see just on a like basic nerd level, because there's not many people who can go toe-to-toe with a Hulk and, like, be his size. So to see them both go toe-to-toe, and it just – my nerd wheels were churning right there, because I was like, oh, this is smart Hulk, because Thanos can't beat Hulk. Like, that Hulk is a broken character who's written because the madder he gets, the stronger he gets, and that's an infinite loop until he is undefeatable. But – you know, I didn't even see Thor Ragnarok, but even from the trailers, you can tell, like, he was smarter, like, he was communicating with Thor.
He was about 2 years old, so he was, like, starting to, like, learn words and stuff like that.
And in the comics, Smart Hulk isn't as strong because he's smarter. So that's the trade-off, is he's not. So to see, like, Thanos just mopped this Hulk around, and they killed Heimdall right off there. Didn't even realize it was Heimdall because the dreads. Like, I was like, what? Who is this new black guy they added to Thor?
That they immediately killed.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's what I said. I feel bad. Who was it? I think RB3, our friend, he wrote a very innocent, sweet, adorable tweet. And it was like, why do we have to have people die? Like, why can't you just want your heroes to live? What's wrong with that?
I wholeheartedly agree.
No, I was like, I replied and I said, because then there's literally no weight or stake to these films. Most people agree, but someone's like, you would have stakes and still have everybody live.
No, come on.
It's not the
Trust
same.
Us. And also, Dragon Ball fans, we'll let you know.
Yes, that's what Iffy and I talked about. You have to, which we'll get to about the end of this, how this movie ended. But I really think you need to start. One, that poster is way too busy. There are way too many characters on it. We cannot add any more. We got to knock some of these guys off.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That just aesthetically. And then we want new blood coming in, which means old blood needs to leave, which means old blood, if you're like, well, they can retire. No, they can't. You think that these men and women, but I was going to say specifically Captain America and Iron Man, can just sit back and watch as the world, they can just retire? No, they're going to be in it for life.
That's what, like, I liked about the movie, too, yeah. is like Tony and Pepper, they're talking about having a kid, and like they're
he
just
can't.
Like, and then all of a sudden
he already
this
proved
thing happens.
That wrong.
Yeah, it's like, no, babe, this is even bigger than when New York got attacked. This is even bigger than when we lifted an entire country.
Yeah.
And this is even bigger. So now I have to put on my new Iron Man jumpsuit and flip around, which I thought was great. Like watching him interact with Doctor Strange for the first time, watching him, Wong, Doctor Strange, and then Hulk join, and Hulk throughout the movie. He's not Hulk throughout the movie. He's Bruce, just going through what most men his age go through.
Yeah.
Where he just keeps trying to get the Hulk.
Yeah.
And he's like,
to get
let's
the
try
Hulk.
Again.
No,
in 15
I didn't even
minutes.
Put that together,
it's so,
Mark.
It's such
yeah.
an
that's
ED
so funny.
Thing. Well, maybe there's a reason why I put it together quicker than you did.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where, like, every guy's been in some level of that situation.
They
want to
perform and they can't. I gotcha.
But what's cool, too, is, like, yeah, that was a fun little mini arc that was going on, which was Bruce trying. Like, it was a total flip on his journey up until this point. His journey was trying to suppress the Hulk. He should be in heaven now because the Hulk does not want to come out. But now instead, he realized that he needs the Hulk just as much as the Hulk needs him, I guess.
Yeah, it's really cool to see that. And like, there's just so much goodness in the movie in general.
Like, oh, yeah.
The movie is a lot funnier than I thought would
tremendously
be.
Tremendously funny.
I mean, we know
exclamation
it's,
point.
It's like an MCU movie, so we know that there's probably going to be jokes in there, but just from the trailers, it looked like a very different movie, because like Thor Ragnarok, which if you get on that, I mean,
yeah,
it's so funny, and there's a little bit of drama, and then Black Panther, there's a lot of drama and some good humor in there,
yeah.
And this was a nice combination
of both of,
of
it.
Both of those.
Yeah.
Like I found myself shocked at how much I was laughing. Particularly, there's a lot of funny stuff from everybody. Like Iron Man and Peter Parker have a lot of great things, but Thor and Rocket
yes.
Raccoon were killing me.
Oh,
Thor
yeah.
calling him Rabbit.
Yeah.
Is just one of the fun. I was howling in the theater.
Yeah, that was actually the only like little preview or snippet I saw of the movie, because I was trying to avoid, I was trying to go in blind, but there was just this one like scene that was on Twitter, and it was that scene where they have Thor on the bed and like everyone's talking about how hot Thor is, and then just Chris Pratt, you know, Star-Lord
yes.
being just super jealous, and that was one of the funniest scenes, and just like seeing them banter back and forth and him like trying to deepen his voice to compare, and he's like, are you mocking me? I'm not mocking you. It was just so good on a comedic level.
I love so much of the comedy of it, and I think that you had to do that. I think that it was so, it could have been really dark, and it was in a lot of places, and I love the fact that they flopped it constantly. It was like a really dark scene, and then immediately it would be a funny scene, and then someone would be about to die but still like Thor and, but still making jokes, you know, and I thought that was smart.
Yeah.
And the way they could shift tone so quickly between having like a funny Guardians one-off, and then the next thing you know we're in this scary new place and there's like a Grim Reaper there. It turns out to be Red Skull, which
oh
is awesome.
Gosh.
I love that surprise.
Yeah.
I loved even more finding out that it was played by my more talented
I
twin,
know.
Ross Marquand.
My friend Ross. And I saw him at the premiere, and I can't say what I said, but it was basically like, you turd. I didn't know that. He said that they recorded that last November. So not even this November, but last November. And wow. He has not been able to tell anyone. And I just checked IMDb. It is still not listed.
He has to sit on that.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's not, because they don't want to give away that Red Skull was in it.
Which was,
and so it's not listed at all.
Great reveal. It was a really great reveal to have this old Red Skull. And then, like, they just kind of body him in that same statement, because they say that, you know, when he touched the Infinity Stone, he was banished to this plane to, like, take people to the Soul Stone, so he can't leave. Which also opens up a question that, since Thanos got the Soul Stone, does that mean the Red Skull is now free?
Ooh. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. I like that. Because Red Skull's just been waiting for somebody to come grab this godforsaken thing off this planet, so I can just go about my day-to-day, see how my kids, see if Toby Jones is still alive, hang out with my Nazi buddies, get some tiki torches, and go march. I mean, that was one of the things I initially had a problem with in the movie that I'm still kind of wrestling with, is that in order to get the Soul Stone, you have to sacrifice something you love. And up to that point, Thanos just always seemed like a character to me that was incapable of love. So even when he tosses Gamora over there, it's like, but did you really love her? See, she was your adopted daughter. You adopted a lot of people. You thought she was a warrior. I get it. Did you really love her, though?
I followed the thread that Marvel fed me, which was when they first interact. He had no reason to try and get Gamora. He could have gotten that stone and rolled out. But remember, he set it up so that they would come to the collector. Then he set up reality so that she can see herself kill him and how she would feel. Like, he did all that just to see, like, how she would feel. And then after all of that BS, the moment that he had her by the throne and she was talking smack to him, and he still didn't, like, all through the movie, he took no mess from anyone else. Like, anybody talk back to him, anyone cross him in any way, he was so quick to kill him. So to see how soft he was with Gamora, that's where I was kind of reading that thread.
Yeah, it was like, again, to use a Star Wars comparison, it's like Darth Vader had to be broken down, or at least to us, the audience, Darth Vader, through the course of the classic trilogy, has to be broken down from this big bad into somebody who we actually do believe can feel something. And Thanos, like, I just hadn't crossed that threshold. Did you buy it? Like, when he has the tear come down, were you like, okay, I'm buying that tear means that he actually loves this person?
I don't know if it was a love, like, I love her as my daughter, or if it was like, now I am truly alone. Like, that's kind of how it came across to me.
Okay.
That he's been alone, and that's kind of what she was saying to him. And it was like, no, this was the one thing that I think he did have pride in. I think he really did pride himself in the way that he raised her. But as far as love, yeah, I agree. I don't know. I mean, I understand that was what they were trying to convey, but that's not how I felt.
Yeah, I feel like that, like, I only got it because I saw the threads, but I do think they could have done more. And I think that would have had to be done earlier, like, not in this movie.
Yeah, because they already had so much.
Because, like, you saw that conflict between Nebula and Gamora, and you saw the jealousy that Nebula had for Gamora because Thanos always loved her. And I feel like those are the seeds, and that's kind of what resonated with me. It's like, oh, and just even when he brought Gamora into Nebula and he saw that she did know, he never used any physical harm to Gamora. Like, he was just like, you're lying to me. Just tell me, like, that's kind of what cued me in. But I do think there could have been more seeds planted along the way. And also, people would have liked it because you would have got more of a taste of Thanos, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was like one of those kind of deadbeat dads that doesn't really care about his daughters. Like, and then Nebula was just jealous because, like, Gamora would get a Porsche on her 16th birthday and she got, like, a word processor or something. It's just nowhere near what the other one got. But the love thing, it's something I'm starting to buy into. And just the acquisition of all the stones I thought was really cool.
Oh,
and then obviously the utilization of the time stone at the end to just throw us all for a loop was pretty sweet.
Well, it was so funny, and, like, not funny but crazy, because that was the first time he used the time stone, and it's because he just got it, because he got it from Doctor Strange, which was, that was the one that kind of fell flat for me. Yeah,
I was the opposite. Doctor Strange?
Well, no. His whole thing, I loved it, but him giving up the stone, I didn't see anything.
He couldn't.
Well, here's my theory then. Because remember, or if you haven't seen it yet, there was a point when they were
You've seen it. You're still listening.
Yeah. what was the name of Squidward's?
But one of Thanos's
children.
Yeah, henchmen or whatever, his kids.
Who was one of my favorite jokes is when he was referred to as Squidward. when they're on his ship, Doctor Strange tells Tony, he's like, look, it's my duty. It's my whole existence to protect this stone. So if it's between protecting the stone or you or, you know, or that kid, Peter Parker, I'm going to choose the stone.
See, I heard some people bandy this theory about that, that Doctor Strange, you know, when he's seeing all those like
visions.
That's
what I was going to say.
Yeah. Is that like the one instance where he saw them winning was him releasing the stone. And so I think that he still honored his oath because he found out the only way to truly protect the time stone is to release it. It's kind of like, you know, you have a kid and then the only way to really take care of your kid is to let them go to college.
Yeah.
And get out of the house. Or when you're 18, you're on your own because it's good for you.
Such a weird analogy, but
I wasn't fully.
A lot of kid analogies for somebody who would just love to have a vasectomy.
Well, we'll on that note, we'll talk more about Doctor Strange and those stones right after this.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
iHeart Podcast Awards 2023 Podcast of the Year, Las Culturistas, with SNL's Bowen Yang and comedian Matt Rogers.
There's stuff happening in 2024 that we really need to address.
Pop culture and huge guests, like the latest episode with
Dua Lipa.
The more I think about it, the more scared and nervous I get.
Listen to the newest episode of Las Culturistas with Dua Lipa and all episodes on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Las Culturistas to start listening.
So we are back, and I wanted to talk about Doctor Strange specifically because I really liked him in this. So I remember when we had Hector on and we were breaking down the MCU, and Hector was like, yeah, he was a little bit more brooding, or like, you know, he kind of just was glossing over it. This, I really did feel like he was, you know, had more of an attitude. It was fun seeing him. Like he said to Tony Stark, it was like, oh, unlike everyone else, I don't work for you.
Yeah.
You know, I really like that. I loved that scene where he's fighting Thanos and then he multiplies himself. Oh, everybody went crazy in the theater.
Went wild because that was like, that's Doctor Strange. Yeah. Like when you read Doctor Strange, so that's cool. His moves, man. And when he just went, it was so good. It was like, yeah, I was geeked up. And
his cape alone performed better than some of the other superheroes in the movie.
But I do want to say that I felt like he, aside from the fact that, yes, he probably saw that one instance where they win and it was giving up the stone, I do want to say that I think Tony grew on him in some way where he was like, didn't feel right in watching this man die right before him. I think it got to him. Of anything, he's still a person. Like, he's still human.
I mean, seeing all those people fade away, which is, it's something that I think that people inside our bubble that really like digest this stuff day in and day out and are hyper aware of not just the present, but the future of the MCU. And that, you know, Black Panther 2 is all, we know that's coming out. We know another Spider-Man movie is coming out. That actually took some of the emotional weight of the deaths away from me. Like the Vision is its own thing. I think Vision is like dead. I think Gamora's dead. But when I saw it was either T'Challa or Peter Parker start to fade away. Mm-hmm. Whoever fades away
first. Yeah, when they took T'Challa, it was like, oh.
In my head, I'm like, okay, we're all going to be okay.
So these don't matter.
Yeah, it's like, this is going to be solved somehow. This is not a permanent loss. Then everybody else that faded away, I was like, oh, well, that sucks for them, but they're probably just going on a nice vacation.
Yeah, well, that's what's interesting about it is all those people like Vision and Gamora that you think are dead, I think, no, I think this is going to be in the cinematic universe what we refer to in the comic book as a huge retcon. We're going to see lots of switches, lots of swaps, lots of changes. But also, I think, basically, in order to get all those people back, they're going to have to alter reality. And I think Gamora's going to be back, especially since James Gunn couldn't be at the premiere.
Oh.
What? Mm-hmm.
No, yeah.
No, what were you saying? That was like a different, what?
No, I was going to say, oh, because there's probably another Guardians.
Yeah, yeah. And remember, James Gunn couldn't be at the premiere because he was shooting the next Guardians.
But she could be there.
And Chris Pratt could be there. Yeah, all the other, the only Guardian that wasn't there was Bradley Cooper.
And he hasn't been at any of these, pretty much.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's just the truth. He hasn't been at a lot of the premieres.
But what's interesting to me is something that, because Danny had mentioned this theory that she has that I don't know if it's swirling around other circles, but it's a great theory. So I'll give you the floor, which is...
So when, because here's the thing. So if we're going to talk about the ending scene, we're just skipping ahead, which is fine, because I really do want to address this. So everyone turning to ash and whatnot when Thanos snaps his fingers. Here's two things that I don't understand. One, I mean, there were crying. There was people sniffling. I understand that to some extent. But there was actively a woman, Mark, in front of us at the premiere who was visibly upset. She like threw her hands up in the air and was like, like that. She kept doing that. I'm like, honey, calm down. Peter Parker has a 3-film contract deal. He's not going anywhere, sweetheart.
I will say, though, like, Peter Parker's disappears, the only thing that got something out of me, and it was because when his was the most dramatic. He goes, I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. I don't. And he's holding on to, and you're like, he's just a kid.
That was the one I do agree because.
But everyone else,
Even though we know it's just temporary for Peter, he's still a kid, and it was emotional. But the others, I just, you know, people were leaving the theater crying, and I was like, here's what you need to be concerned about. You don't need to be concerned about T'Challa, okay? That's their new boy. Like, they know he's the moneymaker. He's going to be one of the new stars with multiple films. Y'all are fine. Peter Parker, y'all are fine. Most of the people that disappeared in the ash are fine. What you need to be concerned about are the people who didn't die. That's Iron Man. They should have taken that man, and they didn't. Okay, and Captain America didn't die. Those are two iconic, two of the longest stars that have been on there, and they didn't go. That's what I'd be concerned with, because that probably means in the next movie, they're going to be gone, and all those other new blood, the new blood that came in, isn't.
They're going to have to trade their lives or some sort of thing. Like they're going to have some sort of noble sacrifice that allows everybody else to come back. But the point you made, like somebody at the premiere crying, if you're at the premiere, you probably have some sort of connection.
Oh, no,
and
I don't
want to
seem like an awful person. Like, I got choked up in a couple of scenes, but I mean, like, being so upset, like some of the people that said they were so upset about the ending, I'm very confused about.
I agree with you, and that's why I'm really curious to see how this movie plays just for people that are outside of our bubble, particularly for little kids. Like, I remember my dad took me and my little brother to go see the animated Transformers movie that came out in the 80s. And my dad was so upset after we were leaving because they kill Optimus Prime in that movie. And my dad is like, look, I took off work. I got the kids out of school to go watch the Transformers thing. And they kill the hero. What's going on here? I wonder, because there's going to be a lot of kids that are going to this movie excited to see Spider-Man. And they're going to be dressed like Black Panther. And they're going to see their heroes turn to dust. And they're not going to know what we know, that they're making more of these movies. They're just going to think, oh, what happened? And their parents going to have to explain that to them. That's going to be a hard sell.
Oh, yeah, that's good. But it's going to be the beauty of it. Because they'll have the beauty of, like, actually enjoying the material as it should be. But also that brings us to a good point where it's like, yeah, there are going to be a lot of kids, but this is a very adult film. Like that's, and I feel like we forget that when we see people in capes and suits, but we're talking, we're using, you know, words we can't even use on this podcast in that movie, you know, and that kind of is something to also consider as a parent that like, yeah, this is rough, but also this is rated PG-13.
It was the only way, I think, for the MCU to go. I mean, again, I don't know if they had to go that heavy with it, because I always harken back to Empire Strikes Back. Like, everybody wants to compare this to Empire Strikes Back. Empire Strikes Back had a rough ending, but one guy got frozen for a while, and another dude lost his hand. That's it. In this movie, every hero in every frame at the end of the movie is just fading to dust.
In the next movie, the guy got unfrozen and the other guy got a robot hand. That's going to be the next movie.
He got a robot hand by the end of Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. He was already new-handed, and he's put his arms over Leia, which is still a little weird in retrospect. But you know,
I actually enjoy that they ended it this way, because if you know that they're going to come back, I feel like there's not as much weight to it. And that's what I was saying. But I don't mind this ending, because I think it kept it to me. I was like, oh, well, that's fun. That keeps it fun then, because we don't know where they are. You know, yeah, we think that they're dead. Maybe they're not, but they're definitely not permanently dead. So I guess piss off people, but I don't see a reason to be pissed off.
I mean, here's the way to look at it. And here's the way I like to look at it as the one who reads comes. They're dead. They're dead right now, but they'll come back. We'll alter reality. We'll come back. Who knows? Maybe Wanda will come back. That was what was weird, too, because Wanda disappeared, right? She was one of the people who disappeared, if I remember correctly.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of like, because, you know, as fans, we're thinking of theories as it happened. And when I saw her there with Vision, I was like, oh. Because I don't know how they explain her powers in the MCU. I'm probably going to look it up while you guys talk for this next portion. But Wanda's powers in the comic, her mutant ability is to alter reality. Like, that is her powers. So my big thing was like, oh, they're just going to use Wanda to alter reality and bring everything back, yada yada. And she disappeared, and I was like, oh, okay. So that was fun for me as a fan, where it's like, how are they going to get out of this?
I was, and I'm about to max out my my nerd Discover card right here, because I used to play Magic the Gathering. And Magic the Gathering, if you have a card, if you have a creature that gets killed, there's two kind of versions of dying in that game. One is your card goes to the graveyard.
Or
and the graveyard
exile.
Means you can summon something back if you can cast the proper spell. And then there's other times when if your character gets killed, they're removed from the game entirely. So I think Vision is like removed from the game. I think Gamora's removed from the game. I think everybody else is kind of chilling in the graveyard.
I think Loki's done.
Loki's removed from the game, yes.
And yeah.
And but then I think like that's why that post-credit scene was so cool, is because Sam Jackson as Nick Fury seemed like the only one that as he's fading away is aware of what's happening. Like this is some sort of weird prophecy that was foretold that this could happen. And so he knew that, oh, this is happening to me. There's only one person I can call, and it's Brie Larson.
Yeah, I actually love the fact, now that I think about it, that the Russo brothers not only trolled you with the ending of like, hey, you know all these new characters that you love? We're going to kill them. I love that they did that. And then they trolled you again by not having a mid-credit scene that everybody in the theater was like, what?
It just
like,
faded away. And then it also said, it didn't say the Avengers will return. It said Thanos will return.
And people booed. So I wanted to touch on two things here in this review. One is Wanda and Vision. God, I love the fact that they got to have these moments together. We
in
got
Scotland,
to see this relationship that's been trying to bud privately, you know, and I loved those moments. I think I agree that he's gone for good, because I think that they finally gave him this type of send-off where we got to see him with his love. We got to see these intimate, vulnerable moments, and then they took him.
But who would you rather watch in the bedroom? Would it be Vision and Scarlet Witch, or would it be Hulk and Black Widow?
Oh, yeah. That was
when she saw him, like, that's what I want to see for the potentiality of it, because apparently Bruce can't really summon the Hulk right now, and so you're just watching like a normal porn with people. But Vision and Scarlet Witch is interesting as to what they would do to each other.
I love that that's where your head goes, Mark.
I had to pull myself out of this Magic the Gathering
hole. You know, we strive here to at least go one episode without talking about porn, and we have failed.
Yeah,
you picked the right guy to do it. I don't watch it, but I'm just saying.
All right, you don't have to lie.
I think that I would actually, when I saw Peter and Gamora, I'm like, how is, okay.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that everyone has, never mind, I'm not even going to go.
That's just like a Captain Kirk kind of thing. Like, Captain Kirk dated aliens.
You know, sometimes, but when you're with an alien, you kind of, I think of it as the Shape of Water thing. It's like, are the parts the same? What's going on here?
That's a good point, because Gamora looks the same as a human lady, but maybe the pants come off and it's just like some like weird like looking squid monster
and
down there.
Peter's into it. So, let's talk about Thanos as our villain.
Yeah. I want to talk about this, and I want to talk about this from, because I got to get a real introspective look at this. I'm going to start this off with, y'all know me. I'm a Black Panther fanboy before the movie. Real big Black Panther. He was my first hero who was not only Black but African. But I went into this movie with a real introspective look at Thanos because, you know, Mark's good friend and co-host on Schmoes Know said that Thanos dethroned Killmonger.
That was his tweet leaving the premiere.
Yeah. And I was like, ooh. And I didn't just totally be like, oh, no. I was like, okay, let's see. Because before we even go into this, I want to say what makes Killmonger such a good villain is because we side with him. He's human. We can see how he made the mistake. And at the end of the day, at his climax, his wants and needs are selfish. But his whole drive is not. He wants to liberate oppressed people. Thanos, I will say, kind of similar. His whole goal is to cut the universe in half because the resources are running low. And that's a OD way to handle, you know, the situation at hand, especially when you think that he has the Infinity Gauntlet and could make anything happen. And instead of doubling resources, he thinks he should cut the universe in half.
That's a good plot hole.
But I'm sure that's just a comic book plot hole.
I think Thanos is just sick of people. I mean, you see the end of the movie. He just wants a cabin by himself.
I know.
He's just like,
he's so tired.
It's kind of like me. Like, I just want to live away from everybody
else.
Yeah,
maybe he should stop kidnapping children if he wants peace and quiet.
That's what I'm saying. He never loved her in the first place.
I agree, though, Iffy, that I feel Thanos and Killmonger have some, like, where they want what's best for humanity.
Yeah.
I think essentially, and that means killing people in their mind. I think I've made this point before, but that's how I feel. Everyone, no one's ever on board with me about Poison Ivy, but she literally thinks that you should kill humans because humans are ruining the planet.
Yeah.
And she's a plant person.
Yeah, she's just like kind of like a, she's kind of like Sting.
She's not wrong.
She wants to save the rainforest.
Yeah, no, a lot of these villains aren't wrong in that humans are ruining things and we should get rid of them.
Well,
or parts of them.
It's one of the things that makes a great villain. It's like, what's your recruiting pitch? So I think it's a close race between Killmonger
and Thanos.
And I would still throw Loki in there because Loki, to me, is just such a fun villain because he's such a fun trickster.
Oh, yeah.
But he could not sell me anything. Like, I don't believe Loki anymore.
Yeah.
Like, if he's telling me, no, Mark, come with me and you'll be my henchman, you can do all this. I'm like, I think I'm good. I just don't really trust you.
Yeah.
If Killmonger's recruiting me, there's a very good chance that I buy into what he's saying. If Thanos is recruiting me, a little bit less so.
Yeah.
I don't think that necessarily makes him a weaker villain than Killmonger.
Yeah.
I mean, if they fight, we know who's winning.
Yeah.
But Killmonger had more of an emotional connection with. I think I'd probably still have to agree with Christian that Thanos, I think, is a little bit cooler of a villain simply because of the power that he represents. But it's really close, and I just saw Infinity War. So I think I'm going to be going back and forth.
I just feel like he doesn't have the same passion that Killmonger does.
My thing isn't even the passion. Is Killmonger is a new type of villain that we haven't seen and we don't get to see.
Especially not in the MCU. Yeah.
In just movies general. Thanos is the same. Thanos is Darkseid. Thanos is Doctor Doom. Thanos is Magneto. There's like an air of where you can follow where it begins, but at the end, they only want power. Killmonger wanted power, but he also wanted to disperse the power. He wanted to give the weapons to oppressed people. He didn't want the power for himself. He wanted to share it. As a matter of fact, that's where the big battle, quote unquote, Ryan Stanger says his son always calls the big fight in Marvel movies the big battle. So like that's where the big battle takes place is he's getting ready to ship these weapons to oppressed people around the world and then try and expand the empire, but doesn't seem like he wants to be the top dude. He wants everyone to have their own power.
But I do think that a part of him, and that's what set him apart from T'Challa, is that he did, in fact, want credit for everything.
Oh,
he wanted,
of course.
Like, they're going to know us. They're going to know, like, I'm on top. He was, like, a flashier, upside-down world version of Black Panther, where instead of T'Challa being royal and regal, and they did such subtle things where even when Shuri was showing T'Challa the suit, and he was like, no, I don't want to be noticed.
Yeah.
And then immediately Killmonger was like, I want to be the flashiest.
Yeah.
I want to be the most noticed. So I do think that he does still have that aspect to him, but I feel he was, when I met with passion was, I believe his vulnerability more. I believed his emotions more than let's dissect when Killmonger cried. I believed him more than when Thanos cried is what I meant.
1,000%. And that's an element of a villain. But I would also take somebody like Joker, who is the total opposite of these kind of villains we're talking about, where the reason why we like Joker so much is because he's so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Because as Alfred said, some men just want to watch the world burn. And it's like, oh, man, that's awesome. So I was kind of wrestling with because Thanos walks in both of those worlds a little bit. I don't think Killmonger wants to watch the world burn.
No.
He just wants to get credit for being the guy that stopped it from burning.
Yeah.
And he also wants to wear, in my opinion, the cooler of the suits, because that was Wake Forest colors. He could have had the black and gold suit.
He has a tattoo on his body.
I'm taking the Demon Deacon costume all day long over the Black Panther Northwestern colors.
I'm glad that we have these different villains, because for Loki to me is like charming. You know, like he's more like, that's the type of villain that I feel. And for me, I don't know. I just feel like Killmonger's more passionate. And then I feel Thanos is more, I just don't see him. He's more like,
he's a
removed.
Guy.
He's more removed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like so. And not as tangible, I think. For some reason, that's how I feel. He's more like statuesque. Like you said, yeah, like a god, where he's kind of just making orders and things, as opposed to...
We all have had that moment, though, where it's like... That's the first time I really identified with Thanos, was right at the end, when he walks out of his cabin. And you can just see him sitting on a rocking chair, just cracking open a beer, like, it has been a day. You know? I'm going to kick up back on my feet and watch some ball games.
Oh, man, yeah. That's there's just like, and this is more to him being a good villain, but there's just something nefarious about someone doing something like cutting the world in half. And it's like, yeah, but I'm not. It's all fair. It's all fair. Rich or poor, just cutting it in half and killing half of people. You know, like that just seems very current. People who think they're fair,
yeah,
and they're just screwing over a group of people, but they think, you know, I'm fair, so it's all good.
And even the fact that like if you and Christian were in the room, you guys had got to have this debate. The fact that we are in this place now with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where the one, you know, kind of Achilles heel has always been perceived as, well, they don't have great villains. The fact that the last two movies have delivered arguably the best two villains alongside Loki.
Yeah.
I think that's such a boon to what this thing is doing. And it's like, it just keeps on going. Like, you saw all those people on stage at the premiere, and you're like, well, this is the culmination of 10 years, and we're all going to have to rebuild after this. They're not rebuilding yet.
Yeah.
They're still going.
Oh, yeah. And I just to move on to the next part, is just talking about just the, I feel like there were a lot of achievements made in this movie. Like, you know, just seeing all these worlds come together to see, to really see how that this is 10 years in the making, and to see all these movies come together seamlessly. I was like, you would have never been able to pitch this to anyone 10 years ago, that like, don't worry, in 10 years, we're going to do a whole bunch of movies and the worlds are going to come together. You know, like the way we had to do it back in the day is be like, oh, all of Quentin Tarantino's movies exist in the same universe because there's one tiny clue in every movie. Like, that's as much as you can get. So to build all these movies around this, it was impressive to see, and to finally have a Spider-Man feel like Spider-Man in an Avengers movie. Like, you know, Civil War, he was there, but he didn't really get to Spider-Man out.
Yeah.
And in this movie, he really was like, just that line with, he was like, I'm Doctor Strange. He's like, oh, we're using our fake names.
I loved it.
Oh, I'm Spider-Man. God, he was funny. Oh. Like, the callback to Civil War, where he said, you remember that old movie, that really old movie, Aliens?
Yeah.
And it's just funny. And to speak to your point a little more, it's like, what's very interesting about the MCU right now is it, first of all, after this movie, Kevin Feige probably just sat back like Thanos did at the end of this movie.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm just going to relax for a minute.
Yeah.
But what Marvel recently announced is that they're not going to be doing a Hall H panel this summer.
Oh, damn.
Which indicates two things to me. One is that,
if you don't know what Hall H is, go check out our Comic-Con.
Yeah, yeah. It's where all the studios unveil like their new projects and stuff, and it's always this big marketing play for all the studios. And the fact that they're not going to show anything at Comic-Con from either Captain Marvel, which is the next... Ant-Man and the Wasp is going to come out early July.
But are we sure this isn't just their usual ploy to get people to go to D23?
What's interesting about it is that D23, the next D23 isn't until after the sequel to Infinity War comes out.
Wait. The next D23 isn't this year.
No.
That's all you have to say.
No.
Because remember, when it's D23 year, they hold back on Comic-Con and just save it for D23.
I think it's August of 2019 because they had a
this is wild.
They did D23 in Tokyo in February. of this year, and then they're not doing it again. So I think that they want to take their time, but I think that they're also a little curious to see if this Disney acquiring Fox deal shakes out and what that means, because if they acquire Fox, it's going to take some time to get that done. But once that gets done, now you have all these other characters that may be able to come into your universe, like the X-Men, Deadpool, X-Force.
I think they're already working on, like, I'm sure that they've already added them into the scripts.
Yeah, we talked about this a bit, how I'm pretty sure that deal's going to go through. Like, I feel like it's going to take a freak thing. You know, it basically, if that damn Comcast Time Warner merger happened, then you might as well. But to take a step out of the review and just talk about movies in general, this is an interesting kind of move, because that would mean that Disney would own a huge stake in just movie properties.
Yeah. A lot of the movies coming out are from Disney,
which could be very dangerous, because you don't want a studio having a monopoly on movies. That's how we go back to the, because remember, there was a time where movies were stale and TV was better than movies. This was the Breaking Bad era, where we were like, movies aren't that good. And now, you know, with studios like A24, the smaller indie studios, those movies blowing up and pushing the bigger studios to take risks. That's how we've kind of gotten into this new, dare I say, renaissance of movies, of films, where we can get the Moonlights, where we can get the Get Outs. And when you have a studio just kind of owning most of the market share that can kind of almost bully smaller movies, then you risk no pushes.
I'm just looking at the D23 schedule to make sure. But yeah,
I saw people tweeting about it today. So
don't worry,
know.
I'll retweet you and call you out your name.
We
if
will.
You
You'll be corrected.
I said the same thing on Movie Talk the other day, so I hope I'm right, but I think I am.
The only reason I think it may be is because they just announced the cast for the live Kim Possible and said they were going to be at D23.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So before we wrap it up, we are going to talk about our favorite part from the film.
Okay.
Right after this.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
iHeart Podcast Awards 2023 Podcast of the Year, Las Culturistas, with SNL's Bowen Yang and comedian Matt Rogers.
There's stuff happening in 2024 that we really need to address.
Pop culture and huge guests, like the latest episode with
Dua Lipa.
The more I think about it, the more scared and nervous I get.
Listen to the newest episode of Las Culturistas with Dua Lipa and all episodes on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Las Culturistas to start listening.
And we're back. So we are here with Mark Ellis of Collider and Schmoes. Thank you for being with us.
I am so happy.
Can we talk about that?
Sure.
Do you like rating? Like, I know that you sometimes there's like a, as far as having to give a number to a film.
As a competitive human being and somebody that loves sports and statistics, then yes, I enjoy doing it. What I don't enjoy is when that number gets compared to every other number that I've given out. It's a fair thing to do, because if I give this movie one number, then people look at the one that it always gets compared to is that, because we rank movies on a scale of 0 to 5 Schmoes. And if you give a movie 5 out of 5 Schmoes, that means you thought it was just great. And so I rarely give that out, but I gave Michael Bay's 13 Hours 5 out of 5 schmoes.
You're never going to live it
which
down.
Which I stand by.
You and my mom loved it, Mark.
It's a great war movie. Yeah. But now people are like, any movie that comes out, like Force Awakens came out, gave it 4.5, and they're like, so it's not as good as 13 Hours?
Oh, that sucks.
Have you addressed
that with them?
You kind of imprison yourself with that, as opposed to just saying like, oh, this movie, see it in theaters, or wait until it's on cable, or that kind of thing. So like the fact that I assign such a specific number to everything, I get a little penalized for it. But, yeah. You know, anything to stimulate conversation and keep the community talking. And because I do love the conversation, like I do like talking about movies a whole lot.
What kept you from giving this film a perfect score?
I thought that there were a couple of things. Like I really was disappointed that they laid it all on Star-Lord pretty much, that this all was his fault. Because he freaked out and punched Thanos right before they got the glove off him. I just thought that was like, come on, you know, hold it together. You were about to kill Gamora yourself an hour ago, and now you can't hang in there for 5 more seconds when you get this stupid glove off the guy. But
he was in love.
Scarlet Witch, I think, too. I like how much she liked Vision, but I'm sorry. If I have that power that she has, and they're trying to take a stone out of my boyfriend, and I'm seeing everybody else out there in the fields of Wakanda laying their lives on the line fighting, and I know I can go out there and just snap my fingers and get rid of half of them, I'm going to do that and then come back and see how my boyfriend's forehead stone is doing. And then the whole Thanos, like, not feeling or maybe feeling love thing, but... Those are more nitpicky things that I had such a good time in the movie.
Yeah.
So that's why it wasn't a perfect movie, but I still, like, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
This is so fascinating because all those things have to do with love, Mark, that you gave it. I'm not kidding. So you can't personally fathom loving someone so much that when you find out they're dead, like what happened with Peter, mm-hmm. is that he couldn't stop himself because he loved her so much. And then you go with Scarlett, she couldn't stop herself because she was so much in love. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more that you've never been in love with someone so much. This is what we're finding out about.
Wow, this is getting deeper. I mean,
my skin starts to turn purple and my chin gets huge.
Write it on the wall, but all the people who've read all the side comics to all of our careers at this table, you know. That was deeper than rap. That was deeper than rap.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I don't think you are. Might be accurate.
I think so. No, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think so. Because it's the same way, if you remember in the MCU episode, and we said our inability to understand kind characters, that's mm-hmm. our fault, which I'm not saying I understand your issues. Okay, I'm going to
move on.
See,
I think I'm a kind character, though.
No, you are. You are. You are a Goku. Yeah. 100%. You are Thank a you. Captain America. You're a Superman. You're a Goku. Yeah, you're a very kind-hearted.
I think I'm more like a Hawkeye, except he has a family.
Yeah, well, which, we didn't talk about that once. He was not in this movie.
Him and Ant-Man.
And we don't even know if they disappeared or not. Like they didn't even get us a cutaway to them to see if their wife...
That should have been the mid-credits. Dang.
It's a little emasculate if you're Hawkeye and you're hanging out with your family and like you can look up in the sky and see this huge battle happening and your wife's like, honey, how come you're not fighting with them? And he's like, I'm just waiting. I'm sure the invitation got lost in the
mail. Yeah, I'm sure they're just calling, you know, Tony has that flip phone, so you know.
And that gets explained, or maybe it will, in Ant-Man and the Wasp in a few months here. And then Captain Marvel is March of next year, so that movie is going to take place in the 90s. That's going to be a nice setup for who this person is and why we had to call on her as the last mm-hmm. resort at the end of this post-credit scene. So it's all going to tie nicely.
Here's the thing with the post-credit scene. I actually wasn't that jazzed about it as much as I think. Because... we already know Captain Marvel's coming up, mm-hmm. and I'm so used to the post-credit scene kind of shining light on something that we didn't see coming. So, like, it just showing Captain Marvel's, you know, logo, mm-hmm. it kind of just was like, yeah, no, we knew that was coming out.
Yeah, I thought they were going to show her. Yeah. That's what I thought would have been better.
Exactly.
But wherever she was.
Like, that's where I felt, I'm not wrong, right? Like, the post-credit scene usually tips its hat, except for the Avengers one where they had shawarma, but that was paying off like a joke.
Or some of the Thor ones, which are, similar.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that we know so much about what's happening in this universe and that, like, the ordinary layperson might not know. Yeah. But to that point, the ordinary person, like, my mom's going to go see this movie, and she's going to see that symbol, and she's not going to know what that symbol means.
Yeah.
So it's like, what was that emoji on Sam Jackson's beeper?
That's true.
You know? But
that was great. There was a lot of good payoffs in this movie, and I think that's probably the best payoff this movie had, which is trying to get Sam Jackson to say MF-er, but like since it is in the world of Disney, it would, or just even all the movies being PG-13, it would never be able to happen. But they found a way to sneak it in there, and I was like, man, this movie really did pay off a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yes. it was a very well done movie. It was a nice celebration of the last 10 years, and you think about, like, I remember being in the theater seeing Iron Man. And the way Iron Man kicks off with AC/DC Back in Black, and it just rocks. And you're like, whoa, I'm thrown into something. To know that this was coming would have been impossible. To know it would have been on this scale would have been impossible. So not only do we get to see an awesome Avengers movie, I also got to find out that I can't experience true love. But I think that was a good... So, learned a lot about myself this week.
So we already know that... That Bark went ahead and gave this 4.5 out of 5 schmoes because he thinks it's not as good as 13 hours.
I didn't even give this 4.5 schmoes. It was a little lower. It was I think it was 3.9, but if I was actually going to do it again, I think I'd probably get it over the 4 hump.
Okay. You know? Well, so let's go ahead and give it how many nerdies we want to give it, because look, we'll ask the fans. If they like this episode, we'll do this for tentpole movies that we like, and I'm going to submit us to Rotten Tomatoes so that my love can affect the tomato meter.
I might be able to lend a hand with that.
Ooh. Oh,
yeah. So see what I can do.
Go ahead and give it a rating, Danny.
I'll give it a... Now people are going to judge mine.
See, it's a hard job. It made me laugh
a lot. No, I got it. I'm giving it a 9 out of 10 nerdies, and this is why. I thought the amount of work that the Russo brothers had to do to make this movie work, to take all of these characters, and I understand it was like we had to cut here and then cut here and then move here and here and here, but damn it, it was funny as hell. Like, I was trying to keep up with it, like, thinking even in their script, like, okay, and then they decided, okay, well, now we see Captain America. Okay, now we're going to check back in with these people. But, you know, it worked. And they were able to thread and blend these characters together. They made the meeting of them so perfect. I just want to do a chef kiss. There we go. It was beautiful. I laughed a lot. And there's been other Marvel movies that are funny, but God, this one was just, it paid off with everyone meeting each other and all of these diverse personalities all coming together. So, and aside from that, the deaths and stuff, which is what I wanted. I wanted people to die. It wasn't the people that I thought were going to die, but yeah. So I give it a 9 out of 10. I did want to say one of my favorite scenes before we move on was the battle with, we had Okoye and Scarlet Witch and Black Widow, and they were all fighting together. I liked that against that horned lady.
If I had to rank my three favorite scenes, like real quick, I'm putting just the when Thor calls Rocket Sweet Rabbit. That is number 3. It's so funny. It killed me. And number 2 is probably the reveal of Red Skull, because I just thought that was so awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see Red Skull. Oh, my God, it was so cool.
Yeah.
And then number 1, it might be, like, that Battle of Wakanda, and, like, all our heroes are just beating the crap out of all these, like, weird, like, parademon things running towards them. And then Thor comes down and just becomes the God of Thunder.
That was so cool.
That might be my favorite scene of the movie as of right now.
Yeah, that was, like... You really saw Thor reach his peak as, like, this is the Thor that, when you think about it, we never really get to see. Like, he's always been working his way up. Like, this whole series has been his arc to being the Thor that we know, who is the God of Thunder.
Dude, do me a favor. I know you got a busy life. I know you got a busy schedule. You got a beautiful family. Take 2.5 hours. You can come over to my place and you can watch Thor Ragnarok.
What are you doing later?
You need to see Thor Ragnarok.
I was actually going to watch it last night and then I got tired. So don't worry. It's on the docket. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 9.2 out of 10 nerdies. Woo. I would love to give it 10 out of 10. But here's the thing. Here's what will always break the threshold for 10 out of 10 nerdies for me. I love movies. I love watching it. I love movies and I love bread, but also I love movies. I just felt like I said it very Oprah-like when I said it. But as much as I like them, there are very few movies I can watch multiple times.
Same.
So I love this movie. It got me so jazzed up, but I don't think I can go and watch it again. I don't think I'm going to go out of my way to watch it.
Oh, you don't think that you could go watch it in the same 24 hours because your friend wants to go see it, and therefore... Everyone's like, why are you here, Danny? And I said, because Iffy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I thought about that. I was like, man, Danny had to sit through it twice. I don't think I could. I know off the top of my head 4 movies that I've seen multiple times with no problem. And those will be known, go down in history out of my 10 out of 10 nerdies. Get Out. When it came out, I think I saw it 2 times. Black Panther, 3 times. Mm-hmm. Mad Max Fury Road, 2 or 3 times. Big Lebowski, 10 times and counting. So who knows, you know, that's going to be my basis for 10 out of 10 nerdies. Can I, as much as I love it, sit through it again?
Yeah, I don't think this has quite the rewatchability of like Captain America Civil War, first Iron Man, the first Avengers to me.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man Homecoming is pretty damn rewatchable. Oh, yeah. Like this one, it doesn't quite get there, but it's just got so much in it. Like this is a great cable movie because you're just going to be flipping channels and you land on this movie and you watch 20 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And then they break the commercial and then you go off with the rest of your life. It's not something like Jaws, where if Jaws is on TNT, I'm done for the next 4 hours. Yeah. Like this, I'm watching the rest of this movie. This I can watch and I can wait until Thor and Rocket hang out, or I can see Red Skull come back, or I can see Thor land on Wakanda, and then I'm going to be good with the rest of my day.
Yeah. Also, the fifth movie I saw, Moonlight, I saw that 3 times, which is like a heavy movie to watch through, mm-hmm. which really is like... Yeah. You really have to.
I couldn't even watch Coco. I mean, I own it, and I haven't watched it again since I cried in theaters.
See,
it
was, sometimes, yeah.
Am I emotionally ready to go on this journey again?
Yeah.
And call all my family weeping? Not today. Not today, Disney.
Still haven't seen Coco either.
Gosh darn
prepare your tear ducts.
Well, I keep seeing that. Like whenever people are like, man, this thing gonna make me cry.
Oh, you're gonna cry.
I was like, I gotta prepare myself.
You're like, gonna
I
cry still like haven't... Thanos throwing Gamora off a cliff.
All right.
Great.
Where can people find you, Mark?
You can find me. I just announced some big shows I'm doing in New York City, June 7th and 8th. I'm at New York Comedy Club. Headlining some shows there. Should be some special guests popping in. And then that Saturday, I'm doing Fairfield Comedy Club in Fairfield, Connecticut.
Yeah.
So you can get tickets at markellislive.com. Just if you just go Mark Ellis Live is pretty much anything that I'm doing, whether it's Movie Talk or Schmozner or whatever. And then working on a very cool stand-up show at Comic-Con. So if you're going to be at Comic-Con, definitely swing by.
Cool. Is if you're going to be on that show?
Is if you're going to be at Comic-Con?
Yeah. Is if you're going to... I'll probably be at Comic-Con.
Then there's a chance that if he might be on the show, but only if. Only if you watch Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Coco, let's throw some more at him.
Yeah, oh, wow. If he said has
what
to be
we do
about
in the
nothing
shadows,
but Coco.
These are things we've recommended to him that he has taken his sweet-ass time. Meanwhile, he's multiple watching other movies.
Yeah, you're watching Moonlight and crying 3 times. Just throw Thor Ragnarok in the mix is all we ask of you.
All right. Well, you can find me at Ifywadiwe, IFYNWADIWE on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez, MSDANIFERNANDEZ. You know, if you like this podcast and you want more of it, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. That would be very helpful. It helps us. It helps boost the numbers of this. And, you know, be kind to each other. Be kind to other nerds. There's probably going to be a lot of different feelings about this movie. You know, I like to tell people maybe don't talk about it publicly, loudly, in your hotel lobby like we had people for The Force Awakens do. And I didn't have it ruined for me, but I could tell the workers working there or in your Uber. You know, like not everyone gets to see it opening weekend like you who's probably listening to this podcast. So just be mindful of, you know, service people around you when you're speaking loudly.
Yeah, and go follow Nerdificent on Twitter and Instagram at Nerdificent. Like us on Facebook. And yeah, please do give us 5-star review. Like I said, at 250 reviews, we're going to drop some stickers. 500, I'll try and get some pins. 1,000, pop socket. 2,000, Iffy and Danny vinyl figures. It's going to be an estimation of those numbers. Probably not going to be exact because of the time it takes for setup cost. But, you know.
Get to 2,000. I want those figures.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be cool. All right, y'all. This has been Nerdificent. Stay nerdy, y'all.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce.
Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
iHeart Podcast Awards 2023 Podcast of the Year, Las Culturistas, with SNL's Bowen Yang and comedian Matt Rogers.
There's stuff happening in 2024 that we really need to address.
Pop culture and huge guests like the latest episode with
Dua Lipa.
The more I think about it, the more scared and nervous I get.
Listen to the newest episode of Las Culturistas with Dua Lipa and all episodes on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Las Culturistas to start listening.